following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
Let's be for a moment in the spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is commencement day for Kent Roosevelt High School, and many other area schools are following shortly. Graduating seniors will be heading out, trying to figure out what they should be doing in life. But no matter what your age or situation, there is always the question as to where your life now should be headed. Abraham was 75 years old when God called him to head out to the promised land, which means that God does not have much of an idea of retirement. Does God have a calling for your life? A common notion today is that we are just randomly here on this earth with no particular purpose, and so we have to just make up our life journey as we go. But a very different picture emerges in the Bible. We see it in the passage from Jeremiah, where God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." God had a calling for Jeremiah, a life purpose and direction. And so God has a calling for each one of us. But how do we discern God's call? The pattern we see throughout the Bible is that God's calling comes to people in some way. For Samuel, the call from God to be a prophet came while he was lying in bed at night. For Gideon, the call to lead God's people came while he was threshing wheat. For Isaiah, the call to be a prophet came while he was worshiping in the temple. For Moses, the call came while he was tending a flock of sheep and goats out in the boondocks. For the disciples, Peter and Andrew, James and John, the call from Jesus came while they were at their fishing boats. In other words, the call from God can become apparent to us at all sorts of different points in life. What is clear, though, in every case, is that God has for us a particular life purpose, and that God will communicate that calling to us. So, finding your calling is not a matter of just figuring things out on your own, but a matter, rather, of being receptive to how God is speaking to us and where God is leading us right now. But how might we expect that God's calling will become clear to us? When you read the Bible, you might get the impression that people in one overwhelming moment heard the voice of God booming out of a bush or a cloud or wherever. But it's very important to remember in this regard that biblical call stories are highly condensed. In the scripture, for example, that we heard from the Gospel of Mark, we are told concerning the call of Simon Peter and his brother Andrew that Jesus saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, and he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And immediately, we are told, they left their nets and followed him. If this were all you read, you might think that Peter and Andrew got their call in one moment. But in fact, there was much more to the story, and we find the rest of the story in other gospel accounts. There we discover that Andrew, sometime before this, had met Jesus, and he went and got Peter, who then came and met Jesus, and then Peter later had an extended encounter with Jesus in a fishing boat. All that happened before this story about them following Jesus' call. So the call of Peter and Andrew was much more of a process than a moment. This likely will also be true for us, that God's calling to us may unfold over time. Our experience of God's call may also include a good deal of personal wrestling, including wrestling with difficult times. Gideon, for example, received God's call while he was threshing wheat in a wine press, which he was doing because he was hiding out from Midianites, foreign raiders who wanted to steal his grain. Moses heard God's call after he had fled from Egypt and was spending his time in remote country chasing after sheep and goats. I have to wonder what Moses might have been thinking to himself at this point. Here I am, he may have thought. I was raised in the household of Pharaoh. I was born to Hebrew parents. Is this what I'm supposed to be doing, chasing after sheep and goats through the wilderness? And then he heard God's voice speaking to him out of a burning bush. It may be that a time of turbulence in life, along with a time of personal questioning, can make us especially receptive to hear God's call. But even as we begin to sense God's guidance, there's another feature of God's call that can make it difficult for us to finally receive that call, and that is that God's call to us very often is bigger than what we were counting on. When God called Gideon, God called him to go out and lead the people of Israel to deliver them from the oppression of those foreign raiders. And Gideon said, "Whoa, not me. How can I deliver Israel? I am a nobody." When God called Moses, it was a call to bring the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And Moses responded with an extensive series of excuses as to why he was not the person who could possibly do that. Likewise, in our passage from Jeremiah, when God told Jeremiah that he was appointed to be a prophet, Jeremiah replied, "Ah, Lord God, I do not know how to speak. I am only a boy." If you want to hear God's call, get ready to be pulled out of your comfort zone. But God's call also includes an assurance. God said to Gideon, "But I will be with you." To Moses, God said, "I will be with you, and I will teach you what you are to say." And to Jeremiah, God said, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you." Along with God's call comes the assurance that God is with us to guide us and to empower us. In every case, it is as people answer God's call that they find their purpose and their fulfillment in life. We know about Jeremiah and Isaiah and Moses and Gideon and Samuel and Peter today precisely because they lived out God's call. So, what is your calling? God's call can be in all sorts of different directions. The biblical people we've considered so far this morning were called to be prophets or preachers or military leaders or political leaders, and the New Testament goes on to elaborate how people might be called to be teachers or administrators or healers or helpers, or the list goes on and on. Any sort of honorable career or volunteer service or life direction may be God's calling for us. And our calling may shift depending on our point in life. When I was serving for a couple of months in a United Methodist Church in Essen, Germany, I visited a woman one day in the parish who was about 90 years old, living in a tiny apartment by herself, though with some assistance. She was almost totally blind and could walk only a very, very short distance. What could be her calling at that point in life? She decided that her calling was to pray. She kept up to date on all the prayer concerns of the church, and she had an intensive program of daily prayer. She was in ministry for her congregation, a ministry of prayer. Wherever we are in life, we can be receptive to how God is leading us right now. But even as God's call to particular people may be in all sorts of specific directions, there is one aspect of God's call that is consistent for everyone. God calls us to something larger than ourselves. So often today, people's thinking about life direction is me-centered. People focus on earning more money or getting more stuff or being more entertained. But the biblical picture of God's call is that God always calls people beyond themselves. God calls us to share in God's purposes. One of the most inspiring aspects of being a part of the church is that we see people answering that sort of calling in countless ways. And we see people working with the Tuesday work group or sharing in the church music ministry or teaching the Sunday school or sharing in numerous other service opportunities. In all of those capacities, people are moving beyond themselves to be a part of God's works. And yet, joining in God's purpose may at times mean traveling a difficult road. This was very much the case for Jeremiah. As a prophet, Jeremiah was called to preach to the political circumstances of his day. And the message that God gave him was a message that people did not want to hear. The land of Judah in Jeremiah's day was in very difficult times, and there was a great deal of tension with other surrounding nations. What the people wanted to hear was that God loved them more than all those others, and that God would exalt their land. Or, to put it in the language of today's political campaigning, the people of Judah expected Jeremiah to say that God wanted their land to be great. But Jeremiah said, "There is none like the Lord. You are great, O God." And Jeremiah called the people to look to the larger purposes of God. Jeremiah would not have done well in the polls. In fact, in Jerusalem in his day, they threw him into an old cistern and left him there to rot until he was rescued by one of his few friends. Following God's call can be tough. Likewise, Peter, as he followed Jesus, encountered enormous challenges, so that toward the end of his life and ministry, he wrote to other believers in the early church who likewise were experiencing great trials, and he said, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, insomuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Those who suffer in doing God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." Perhaps here we see why many people today are inclined to ignore God's call. It's a lot easier to do so. It's much easier to just do your own thing than to connect with the at times demanding calling of God and the ministry of the church, to join on a mission trip or to volunteer at a trash and treasure sale or to give of your resources. And yet it is precisely as we connect with the larger calling of God that we find real meaning and value and joy in life. Today, God is calling us to join in God's purposes, to share in what God is doing in our time. May we be receptive to God's call, and even if the going gets difficult, may we live out the admonition of Peter to commit ourselves to our faithful Creator and continue to do good. Let us pray. O Lord, you are calling us today, just as you called the prophets and those first disciples, to follow you, to be a part of your purposes in our time. Inspire us, O Lord, to lift to you our faith and our commitment, that we may indeed step forth as your people and be empowered by your Spirit to be a part of what you are doing in our world today. We thank you, Lord, that we can follow together as your church, that together we can grow in faith, support one another, and reach out in mission to the world. We do reach out as a church fellowship to people who are in times of particular need. We do reach out to people beyond our own church fellowship. We lift up our affiliate United Methodists at the Lake Brady United Methodist Church, and we rejoice that we can reach out together into the whole world, a world so full of trouble. We remember in prayer the victims of that terrible Egypt Air downing this past week. In a world full of strife, Lord, we pray that you would inspire us to be instruments of your justice and your peace. Well, Lord, we give thanks for the many ways that you are guiding us in life, and we ask this weekend your special guidance and blessing upon our graduates. Be with them as they step forth in new ways. Help them as they would seek to discern your calling for their own lives. Guide all of us, O Lord, as we are receptive to your voice, as we hear today that call to follow, as we would step forth in faith and commit ourselves to the purposes of your everlasting kingdom. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's Notes from the Pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.